Do we have any like little tiny theme music, like da 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 ba, you know, something? Because I want to go in, and I would like to introduce a new section of Famicom Dojo called
Oh,
da ba
sure.
ba ba. Vink was wrong.
Okay. So, Vink.
Yes.
We're always right about everything we talk about, right?
As far as I know.
Like,
uh-oh.
Yeah, we're so researched and learned, and we never take shortcuts or certain information at face value, ever. Oh, we don't misremember things either.
Oh, never.
Never.
Well. This brings up a good point, and I'd like to introduce a new segment to our Famicom Dojo podcast. Vink was wrong.
Oh my!
This will be a new segment of the podcast that probably, you know, if our viewers are good about it, probably can be included in every one of our episodes.
How come there's no Sean was wrong section? I wanna cry foul. Should we name this?
Well, I the thing is, like, maybe some people, and some episodes are more researched than others, definitely, that we do, but a lot of it I'm just based on my my memory of how video games went down, and sometimes assume things. Let's bring up one that Ugly Joe mentioned from our last podcast when I was talking about processors.
Oh, sure.
It's about the MOS 6502, and I said that it was you know, a Motorola processor. It's not. It's not. Oh. It's but you know, I always thought the M in MOS meant Motorola because someone told me that once, and I never really went to check it out. But I did find out that. The processor was designed by many of the same engineers that designed the Motorola 6800 processor.
Oh.
So, and that it was fully compatible with the Motorola processor. But it was way, way, way cheaper. And that's why all the consoles used it. The computers were using, like, Motorola processors. Or, actually, computers like Apple II, which were being introduced to the home market, they also used the MOS chip. But...
Okay.
So, Vink was wrong. Yeah, we got some great comments from our last podcast, actually.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But, and so many people have written in this week, and I really like that. But, unfortunately, I was wrong about one more thing. So, part two of... Vink was wrong. Is about Metal Gear. I mean, I didn't make Metal Gear, so I mean, I can't be responsible for all the things with the series.
Oh.
Stole Raiden's clothes, but another story.
Yeah,
but
I don't know what's going on.
I had. I mean, I live here in Japan, and I've never seen a cartridge version of the game. In various places, I'd seen disc versions of the game, at least. I think it was Metal Gear. Oh, no.
Oh, dear. See, there we go again.
Quiet, because we're going to run into another Vink was wrong. But someone assured me and showed me assured me that there was, in fact, a cartridge version, and I found it. Pretty expensive cart, actually. But, yeah, it was originally released on cartridge. But I still hold true that MSX was more of a computer than a console.
Sure.
Just because, you know... That much like the Commodore 64, most of them were keyboards with cartridge or disk slots. So
sure.
And you know, it was definitely definitely more of the computer. But yes, Metal Gear on cartridge and perhaps disk.
Okay,
if my memory serves me correct. Now, But the comments, I mean, those comments are great. Thank you, guys. I mean, it's important. And it's so great that our viewers and listeners know so much about what's going on in the video game world. And
because we don't.
we know a couple of things.
Yes.
But the comments that I really, really enjoyed reading this week were the ones where people were sharing their own experiences of going to video game stores that were actually grocery stores or
mom and pop shops,
finding games there, and just I think a lot of our viewers are of the same age that I am that you know we actually rented Nintendo games, not just they're not too old that they rented I don't know what Pong machines, and not too young they remember that on their 10th birthday party they went to a store and rented an Xbox. So
yeah,
but anyway, they were great, and if you'd like to read those, come check out our show notes from episode 54.
Yep.
And leave your own comments there too, but or you can go one step above that, as one of our listeners did, and send us a voicemail.
Yeah, so we got this one the same day the podcast aired, and yeah, let's just play it now.
All right, I'm Connor. I'm here to talk about episode 54, about how we find out about new games now. I generally use the internet. YouTube is helpful. Obviously, you can see the actual game. Kotaku and other game sites I don't use too much, because as I've seen from past experience, they're usually blatantly wrong about games. They don't play it to the games too much.
Oh my.
What comes to mind is Splatterhouse for the, I think it came on the Xbox, I know it came on the Xbox, PS3 maybe.
The Engine!
They really only played that game like 10 minutes or so, but that's completely irrelevant.
Did they say that? Or is it just
I also use rich friends who buy games new regardless of if they're good or not.
Well, games aren't that expensive, are they?
It's pretty convenient.
Named rich.
Yeah. Internet. Zoom, zoom.
You zoom, zoom? I zoom, zoom.
All I want to do is zoom, 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 zoom.
Oh, my. Oh.
Anyway, that great comment. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And I think there's news aggregate sites like Destructoid, Kotaku, Joystick. I don't want to be too critical, because I mean we know people from all those sites.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah. The people who like our show for some reason.
Like, remember when we went to TGS and everyone's like, "Whoa, Famicom Dojo guys," and I'm like, "Whoa, real site guys."
We forgot to give away our press kits to everyone we ran into. It's like, oh, we were just having fun talking and being so shocked that they recognized us by sight.
I don't know. I think it's the nature of those type of sites, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
They're aggregates. You know, they're trying to collect as much information as possible in a short time, and the content that they actually write, I mean, these writers are churning out article after article. Now, is that a good thing? I don't know. Sometimes it can be, because sometimes if you can say something simply in a few words, that's better than, you know, writing, you know, long articles.
Well, and then sometimes you're just completely wrong. At least I assume so, because I don't know, who was it, like someone for Forbes or something thinks that like Robin's going to be in Batman. Although I guess by the time this podcast comes out, we'll all know if that's true or not. Anyway,
but the thing is, even the big boys, you know, the people who should be like, quote air quotes, professional journalists, can make huge mistakes, like that the Wii U is just an attack. You know,
right, but, yeah, and that's partly Nintendo's marketing not being strong enough on that point. But we know better. They should know better too, right? Sure.
Yeah, but some of these sites, yeah, with the like the playing for 10 minutes, I think that's a little bit of hyperbole there. But still, I mean, it's clear that a lot of them never really talk about much that goes on before the first hour of the game is over, you know?
Right.
Very rarely do we see reviews on a site like that that mentions anything about an ending for a game. Because most of the time, the decision is made before the game is fully played. I mean, you've got a game that takes 40 hours to play, but like your personal quota is to do 3 articles that day. I mean, it's not really possible. And
you gotta be the first to get your review out. So, mm-hmm. That's why we don't review things at Famicom Dojo. We talk about retro stuff mostly because everyone's had a chance to play it. We mind that nostalgia beast.
The nostalgia beast, yeah. Stuff that we played 20 minutes ago that we have maybe fonder memories of.
Yeah. It's like the thing about renting or not having your own money to buy stuff is that you just played the same games that were terrible over and over again because that's all you had. Or you tried out something because it was just a rental that you may have only played the first level or two of, and you just did that over and over again because you didn't know what games were good. It's like Nintendo Power says that Totally Rad is aptly named, and so you're like, I'm going to try that out. And it was not, in fact, rad. It was totally something, but rad was not it.
Gosh, where's Nintendo Power led me wrong? there's definitely been games. Snake Rattle.
Snake Rattle and Roll?
It was a game by Rare.
Like, oh, I knew that.
After Battletoads. Uh-huh. And you're like a 3D isometric type view. And you're the snake and you try to eat, I think they were called Nibbly Pibblies or Nibbly, or maybe that's from Blackadder. I don't know. Something.
Okay.
Made like you basically start as a snake's head and each one you eat adds on to your body until you're a snake that's long enough that you weigh enough to hit this thing on a scale, and then you can advance to the next level.
Interesting.
Take any damage, you lose like a few sections of your body. Oh. And if you take too long, a giant foot comes out of nowhere. And you know what? I just realized that Rare was a British developer,
right?
And that's a Monty Python reference that I just get now.
Yep.
But this was before they were a acquisition for Nintendo. Before they were a first-party developer. But I think they were called Rare Coin It at the time. Maybe Coin It was a supporting company.
Okay.
Yeah, Battletoads and
if you want to write in and tell Vink that he's wrong, just go to our show notes. Or call us.
Actually, pointed. You know what? I like that though. That's how I'm learning things. Is by being wrong. So,
oh dear.
If I remember correctly, Rare also ported some like THQ games, like the Sesame Street.
Okay.
But anyway, so Nintendo Power was like, this is the big game. This is the game of this month. If you see this game, you should rent it. And you know what? It was interesting. It was an interesting game, and I actually bought it. But the thing is, this was like 2 months after reading about a Nintendo Power, and it was $20.
Mm-hmm.
That should have been a warning sign right there, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But like, game Nintendo Power likes? $20? This is perfect. You know? Like, I don't know, what were games back then? $40, $45?
I think they were still around 50 or 60. It's just that, you know, I never bought them new at the time, so I didn't actually know how much they cost. I just knew how much they would cost to rent.
I always waited till they hit low prices, and that worked for me for Star Soldier.
Oh, okay.
I never would have even rented or played Star Soldier, but it was the cheapest game I'd ever seen at a store. It was $16.
Wow.
Like, this one. That's also how I got Ultima Exodus, which is a really interesting role-playing game for the because I think it was like $22 or something. So like sight unseen they bought just because it also led me to Fester's Quest,
which I had a love-hate relationship with. It's like I wanted to like it, but I just couldn't.
If I've ever played a game so long to get so little into it. So you have to power up your character so that you have any chance at the boss. So you spend like an hour powering up Fester, getting him like this really nice whip or a gun or something. And then you go into this 3D maze and pretty much instantly die.
Oh. Oh, that's right. Ah, man.
But you know what? I loved the Addams Family. Although it was very... this was very loosely based.
Right.
I wanted to like it so much. I wanted to like it so much. But anyway. So what the voicemail brings up something really interesting.
Yeah.
That one of the sources for game information is watching videos on YouTube.
Yes, that is something that I don't think I've done too much of, but it's something I've certainly contributed to, if that makes any sense.
What do you mean?
Well, as part of Powitz TV, when I'm not doing Famicom Dojo videos, which for a lot of people lately has not been often enough, I contribute to the Keep Playing series. And last year, like basically during the course of 2011, I did like a 9-part overview of like the romance options in Mass Effect 2, which required playing enough of the game as male and female shepherds to get all the major romance plots fulfilled, which, you know, is probably more time spent playing those games than the reviewers do on those. No. I don't know that for sure. But especially like when Mass Effect 3 came out, like those things got crazy traffic because people were just really curious. And I don't know if that's so much to do with wondering what the game is going to be like, as it's like those BioWare games are just really mired in story and choices, and you kind of want to see if the grass was really greener on the other side, maybe. You know, you're not going to play through it again for the fifth time to find out if, you know, Jack won't rip your head off and lay her eggs in your neck stump. But it's a line from the... I chuckle whenever I hear that one. I'm sorry.
Like a good old-fashioned romance.
Yeah. But, so, I wonder about that, because I definitely watch trailers, like especially like around E3. I'm sure everyone does. And there's this whole like let's play thing that people do where they'll like go through like a really terrible game or like an unknown game or just a fun game and go through it with commentary and like react to it as they're going through it. I've never watched a lot of these myself, but they're a pretty popular concept, I think. So, I mean, is that getting people to want to play these games, or is like watching them do it a good enough experience? I don't know, honestly.
You know, I try not to, because like I don't want, but some of the games that I just don't know if I'm ever going to have a chance to play. Okay. I'd like to get the story from them. I don't know, you know.
Sure, sure.
But I don't know. I don't know if I could sit down and watch someone else play a game. I think I just feel like I should be playing it myself. Maybe if it was like something really obscure, I had no way of acquiring it myself.
Yeah. Well, that's what we did in college, though. Like we would take over the lobby in the dorm, and someone would like bring their system down and play like the Final Fantasy VIII or something, and the rest of us would just watch. Like occasionally, we like do multiplayer stuff, like Samba or Smash Brothers or. Or oh yeah, Conker's Bad Fur Day multiplayer was a popular one for some reason, but
it was fun.
Yeah, so I didn't feel the need to play those games myself, I guess, because I watched someone else do it.
I never played through Final Fantasy Mystic Quest. I don't think maybe Aww. I did. I don't remember. It's a short game. Like I do remember that it was my younger brother's game first. And the first way I saw it was watching him play through it.
Oh, okay.
Actually, we might have alternated. I don't really remember. It's a while ago, but I remember that there were long sections that I would watch him be playing. Yeah. Well, there's something when you're connected there, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like with the social aspect of it when it's happening live. But like, I would not want to watch a video of my brother playing Mystic Quest pre-recorded.
Right.
But the thing is, I think maybe we're going about this wrong.
Okay.
If you find a popular game on the net, and there's like a Keep Playing, Now Playing, or whatever. Sorry, Keep Playing is the thing you do.
Yeah, Let's Play.
That's it. You know, some of these videos are like at 500,000 hits.
Yeah.
That's like all of our videos combined.
Well, like that's just the problem, right? Like I did one about one of your companions in Dragon Age 2, like about a year ago, I think. And it's not a lot of dialogue. It's like text overlays and stuff. And I, you know, play through three different alternatives to like what can happen to the character of Bethany during this Deep Roads mission. And but it's not just like showing it like this is what happens this time, straight cut. This is what happens that time, straight cut. It's like intercut. The dialogue on the screen is sort of meant to be humorous. So, you know, there's still a lot of like editing that goes into it to present the information like we would do on one of our videos. But I don't have to be like on camera. I don't have to record anything. It's a lot easier to do. And it has like 36,000 views in the last year, which is one of the fastest growing videos I've ever put out. It's crazy.
That's the thing. Like, when YouTube, this whole thing was announced, I was so excited about it because I'm like, this is amazing. Like, indie filmmakers are going to be able to have a place to do stuff. And there's going to be real internet television shows coming on.
Right, right. But people don't use it for that. They maybe Blip TV they use that for, but YouTube didn't end up being that.
So much of it is like, here's a clip from The Daily Show I recorded from with my smartphone from off screen.
See, now you're just like feeding the Viacom beast. they're going to cite our podcast as an example of proof that their copyright was indeed infringed upon. I don't know.
I think if you have to watch it that way when they already have a free, you know, streaming video site.
Oh, they did. Oh, did you hear this? So, like, there was this whole kerfuffle with DirecTV. They couldn't get a deal going to, like, show their stuff on there. So they ended up pulling down all their streaming content from the internet in retaliation to DirecTV so nobody on the internet could watch it anymore.
Really recently?
Yeah, this is like the last week, I guess. Wait, is that right? No. You know what? I think that's from 2 years. I was watching The Daily Show, and I think I might have pulled up a 2-year-old clip. I apologize. Well, that happens, though, is my point. It happens.
I mean, it could. Like, we can't take anything that's up for streaming for granted. But, I mean, just people who just take clips from movies or mashups or...
Right.
YouTube poop videos, which is like clips of Pokemon mixed with, I don't know, swearing or something. I don't know.
Close enough.
Like, they have way more hits than anything we do.
I know, right? Or like that 8 second clip of the GameCube speed up music, which is, you know, 360,000 views now or something. Yeah.
So I think we're doing Famicom Dojo wrong.
Maybe. I mean, the most recent cut of our latest episode. Wait, did I say that out loud? Oh, it's like 14 minutes long. Who's going to want to watch that?
We really should have just taken the console in question, whatever,
yep.
Put it in a box and unboxed it.
Right. Well, there's...
Because we can't compete with unboxing videos. What else?
There's a show called Classic Video Game Room where it's just like a guy with a camera holding the camera in front of the console and like talking behind the camera about the console. And so all you ever see is like that in his hands, and there are very few cuts in it. And occasionally he'll like pull in like a glass of brandy or whiskey or whatever the heck he drinks, clink it against the console, and supposedly take a sip off screen. You never really see it, but I mean that they get so many hits just for that. It's so much easier than what we did.
This is jealousy, by the way. Everyone.
Oh, this is complete. This is like professional jealousy, which is too bad because we don't really get paid that much.
Classic Game Room or any of these like YouTube sensations. We're trying to find out a way to do that.
Right. But, So we're trying new things. We're going to try new things.
Short shows too, like we want to do like just a little 2-minute thing, like a little game review or like
yeah.
A quick something. Because those are the videos that get a lot of hits. But
yep.
Like the stuff that we're working on right now was most of it was intended to be very simple, but then we start doing our research, and then we get in and go, oh, but there was also this. We should include this. Yeah. Okay, just that. But if we include that, we have to include this. Right. And we just... This is why you don't see that many new Famicom Dojo episodes.
Yeah, I got accused on our Facebook page. Well, I guess we both did, because it was on our Facebook page, of deciding to stop making videos after the Sega 3D glasses one. Like, oh, I thought you decided that you were just weren't going to make them anymore. It's like, did we decide that? I don't remember deciding that. Well. It might seem that way because it was the last episode we released, and it was in September of last year. We've just been doing podcasting since then. To be fair, we were at Tokyo Game Show like a week later and put out 13 videos, so I guess that doesn't count. But
there's something I regret ever labeling things as episodes, because our 3D special was more of an episode than most of our episodes.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so that's something we're going to start doing away with. We're going to do our planned stuff, but like the newer things are going to dispense of any pretense of continuity, I guess. Kind of like Penny Arcade. They hate continuity.
But for those who are counting, there will be a new numbered Famicom Dojo full episode coming. Can we say when it's coming?
Yeah, we can say when it's coming, I think.
Okay, when's it coming?
It's coming next Wednesday, which is July 25th.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
It has been a long time. And so how long is it going to be until the next one? A few months? A year? I don't know if I can wait that long.
Next full numbered episode? Hard to say, but things that will qualify as Famicom Dojo videos will be coming immediately.
Immediately? When's immediately? Like an hour later? A minute later? A week later?
Yeah, the last one.
Oh, yeah. What?
We're gonna have a weekly release schedule for videos, and during the same time, the podcast will still continue going on.
Madness. We've never done a weekly schedule before, you know, minus the podcast, of course, a weekly video release schedule. How is this possible?
Well, we've got some videos done right now.
Yes.
And some that are heavily into production that will be done fairly soon. And it maybe looks like we haven't put out anything for a while. That's because we're kind of saving them up.
Okay. So working ahead. Yeah, you might have had something sooner.
We
literally started filming some of this stuff like back in November.
Yes. You may notice that another medium uses such a system. It's called a television.
So
they don't just go, "New Family Guy just got done. Put it up."
although there's a documentary about South Park called 6 Days to Air, because they literally make them that fast. But they also have, you know, like they're like a flagship show for an entire cable network, and they have hundreds of people, or at least dozens, scores maybe, working on these things constantly.
But I mean, so, that's the thing.
And there's two of us.
Just released episodes as soon as they were done.
Yep.
So we're saving for, let's call it, the onslaught right
yes,
now.
Yes.
How many videos is that going to be? Maybe we shouldn't say.
Maybe we shouldn't. I mean, I threw some numbers out on the Facebook page, but then like I'm thinking, like, well, that doesn't include promos, and you know, we might shift some things around a little bit. In case something doesn't get done on time, but we still have weekly videos because there's enough done now that we won't miss things for like a month.
I'd say, yeah, at least five, at least six, probably.
Yeah, more than six, actually. Pretty sure more than six.
We're working on the partially finished ones as we go on, so we're gonna try to keep this going as long as we can. I mean, we can't keep it going forever. But
just to compare, like the first season of six episodes, you know, six numbered episodes anyway, took a year and a half to do, and we're going to do it all for you guys in like a month and a half.
And these are, I don't know, we're trying a couple different things with these videos. The full numbered episode will be kind of what you'd expect.
Right.
You know.
And like I said, 14 minutes.
quite lengthy and meaty. Lots of information there, and I wonder if people will like it, actually.
Yeah, we'll have to see. It's a bit of a departure. We've sort of teased it over the last few shows, this last spring, because that's when we were like really heavily working on the details of it, especially the script. That's one thing too, is that we've been scripting ahead of time, which makes filming things out of sequence way easier. Also, something they do on television and movies that they don't do at all in order.
This episode has been on and off in production for 3 years.
Yeah, that remember the end of the second episode? There's that clip of Vink tearing into a Neo Geo, which wasn't actually filmed for the show. It was just one he had done. Why did you do that? Was it for Four Color Rebellion or something?
I did it for Famicom Dojo, and like it was before I had it was during the time when my good DV camera had broken.
Okay.
I think I recorded it off my cell phone, but like we needed an outro for the episode,
right?
We needed something to fill, and I hadn't really been in that episode because, as I said, my camera broke. So, this was during the time when the N64 Kid video was still really popular.
Yeah,
and I don't know. I tried to replicate it by like pulled a tiny Christmas tree out of storage and hooked it up on my, and I didn't actually have any wrapping paper, so it was just like some, I don't know, bits of like brown paper or something.
Well, the resolution's so low you can't even tell.
Horrible. And I wanted to find, I didn't have any pajamas. I wanted to emulate the kid's pajamas, but I didn't have a frog suit. Well, like, not a frog suit.
It's a
like
kappa suit, right?
Kappa, actually.
Yeah.
And from Halloween or something. And I put that on it. I was intending to replicate what was going on in the video, but like I realized as I was filming it that I didn't really remember what happened, other than he was kind of pawing the box and that he was really excited about it.
Well, the end, I'm pretty sure was not in the original.
It wasn't, but like it was not intended to be lewd. I was trying to like scoot on the ground or whatever to get closer to the system,
uh-huh.
But it looks very, very much like I'm just kind of humping the box.
Oh my. I guess that needs a link in the show notes. Then that's the battery carts. No, shoot, what is it? the battery backup episode. There we go.
Oh yeah, it was. I don't think I was in Carts and Pins at all.
Yeah, that was in like early 2008. So like you know the same thing that happened this like last year is what happened the first time. Like we did three episodes right away. Like you know one. We did. Oh, yeah. By the way, happy anniversary. July 16th was our 5-year anniversary, if you can believe that. I'm not sure I can.
Wow.
Right? Right.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that was on Monday. That was this week yet. So we're counting down to the new episode on Facebook. So is that part of it? No, because we're doing season 2 stuff. So we did that first episode on July 16th. 3 weeks later, had the next one up. And 3 weeks after that, had the next one up. And then nothing until, like, April of 2008. But, you know, we did, like, the Tokyo Game Show special. We put a bunch of stuff up while we were at Tokyo Game Show. So it's kind of a lot like what happened last year, where we had the two specials, quote-unquote, even though they were just as long and intricate as our regular episodes. And then we had 13 videos out of Tokyo Game Show again. And then, like, nothing numbered. So we're always busy. It's just that we don't do things, I don't know, in a timely fashion normally. So we're gonna try this instead. We're gonna hold it up, and then we're gonna release it all at once and see how that works for us. And if you guys really 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 like it, we're gonna do it again. I don't know, in 6 months, 5 months. It all depends on when you're how much time your little one's going to afford you, I guess.
On vacation coming up, so there'll be a lot of time to work on stuff. But anyway, well, also the scope has changed.
That's definitely true.
Look at season 1 and compare it to season 2.
Sure.
It's completely different. Like, they were shorter. Like, we consider our long videos to be like 9 minutes.
Yeah, like, this is my fault. I think episode 5 was 10 minutes long. It's like, that's too long for YouTube. So we actually cut out 2 minutes and put it in the podcast version, which was still like 640 by 480 and better than YouTube was doing at the time. So it seemed like a really good deal. It's like, oh, you can watch our podcast version and get 2 more minutes and better quality video. And that ended up, in hindsight, being not a great decision on my part. So I apologize. But that is on the DVD and the Blip TV version if you want to see it. Not on the disc.
By the DVD.
By the DVD.
We are a couple minutes away from having them be like, you know, network TV broadcasting,
right.
Which production closing credits is around 19 minutes. So we're getting there.
Yeah, yeah, pretty close. We could have. We actually cut a lot out of the original script for this one, which was written originally like 2 or 3 years ago, right? So if we had kept everything in, then I'm sure it would have been like, yeah, pushing 20 minutes for sure. Wow. So speaking of broadcast television... I don't think we mentioned it on the podcast yet, but we are currently airing every Friday in the Madison cable market on WYOU, which is the local public access station, which is pretty cool. 3 times a day, 3:30 a.m., 2 p.m., and prime time at 9:30. Is that crazy or what?
You know, that's a really primo spot. I mean, most of the competition on that is telecasts of church services.
Well, it is Madison, so there's like a strong liberal political tinge to a lot of the programming on there too. So I think like we were sandwiched in between like corporate free news broadcast, and then a disc golf tournament.
Yeah, that's what's following us, is like a disc golf tournament. Yeah,
it's pretty fun. They're pretty cool people down at WYRU, and they're really super duper helpful. And if you actually watched the first day, my face was frozen on the channel for most of the day because I guess something happened to the DVD player, and so from 3:45 until about 2 p.m, it's like 3:45 a.m. It was just me in the second episode of the show, just like with my face frozen. Fortunately, I didn't look too ridiculous, but if anyone tuned in for that time, that's pretty much all they saw except for the interstitials in between normal episodes. So they fixed it. We got them a new disc and everything. But yeah, so if you haven't seen that, it's really mostly our season. It's called season 1 part 1, so it's the first 3 episodes plus a bunch of stuff from season 2, the gardening ninja attack, and some promos and stuff for season 2.
Still think we should call it Famicom Dojo the TV.
Yeah, Famicom Dojo the TV. Maybe we'll do original stuff for it too, but for now it's just aggregating our shorter shows because they were like 6, 7, 8 minutes long originally, and we can cram a bunch of them into one 28 and a half minute slot. Which is pretty, pretty cool. So if you can't watch it on cable, which most of the people in the world can't, you can watch it on WYOU.org at those times on Central Daylight Time. The schedule is on the website if you want to take a peek at that.
That we'll link to the PDF of the schedule too. But really, I mean, if you're following us and you have a DVD, you've seen it all before, but, you know... different way. It's a different way of seeing it. Also, if you have connections with any of your local cable access channels and you would like to see Famicom Dojo on that, get us some details. We'll see what we can.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it all depends on the different markets. Like, you know, ours requires like sponsorship, so we have a membership there to show our show. But like other places just require someone who's in the community to kind of like speak up for the show. It's like if they have a membership already or they work there or whatever, then they'll just broadcast it. So if you want to see it in your market, just send us an email, call us 608-492-1923. We'll be happy to ship off discs to any station that wants to have us, because this is just the start. We're going to try more stations around here. And
television station now, so they get free discs.
Yeah. Oh. This is my station,
WME.
WME.
Me.
Send me your free discs. Okay. It's only 28 minutes of stuff, though. I mean, come on. Come on.
Unsatisfied with the contents of a bag of potato chips I was eating. Please send me as many free products.
So many things happening in Dojo Land. We are still a video series, and we're gonna release more content in like 2 months than we have in like any one particular year, I think. So
yeah.
It's gonna be pretty awesome.
So stay tuned, tell a friend, and
We're starting next week. So you listen to this podcast when it's new next Wednesday. And then every Tuesday thereafter, because Wednesdays are the usual Powit TV slots. And I think we're going to be in some of those, but the videos will go up on Tuesdays.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. Pretty cool. Pretty sneaky, sis. Hey, Mike, I think he likes it. What other kind of memes can I throw in there?
I think some... I don't know. Maybe only our diehard fans are going to like every video, though. Because, as I said, we're trying... unique things.
Unique's a good word.
Famicom Dojo is going to be releasing its first music video.
Partnering with Leet Band.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Well, you might remember from the Koshi Denwa song. Let's see. We're going to be releasing a video that's actually tips on how to play something.
What? That's no. What?
We're actually going to train someone in something useful.
We're actually going to live up to our tagline and train your game.
Right now, it's more like seminar your brain, but
sure. But yeah. You know, it's not like some professor in like a cardigan with his man beard and glasses pointing chalk at a board.
No idea, man in cardigan, chalk on board. Okay, good. Hey, who knows,
And there's other things, too. Like, during the onslaught, we got some more sweet announcements. But why tell you all at once? You're just going to have to, watch the episode on Wednesday and then tune back into the podcast next week.
And we're really, really looking forward to your comments for all these. Because, as I said, we're doing a bunch of different things. And the ones that get the best feedback, that's pretty much going to shape how our videos go forward that point.
It's true.
Because we love doing this show.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, I think we mentioned it a lot, but we also want to make sure that other people enjoy what we're doing. And if you have any feedback, constructive or even mean-spirited,
please. Oh, we don't get a lot of those, fortunately. But when we do, we lay the smack down right away. No. We're pretty nice about everything, I think. So if you want to tell us what you think, you can just go to Powit. Sorry. You can go to Powit.tv, but you can also go to FamicomDojo.tv/podcast 55 for this episode. Leave a comment in our show notes and see the episodes we talked about during the show and other sweet links to things we talked about. Or you can just send us, say, comments on Twitter, Famicom Dojo, Facebook, Famicom Dojo, where we're going to be running through the highlights of Season 2 until the new episode comes out. And, of course, like I said, you can always call us at 608-492-1923. Did I leave something out? I feel like I left something out.
Well, I think one thing... Stitcher Smart
Yes,
Radio.
we are free streaming on Stitcher Radio.
And Zune.
You keep saying that. I think it might be true.
If I say still haven't enough, checked. Maybe, actually, hey, we got a comment that someone has a Zune.
Ah.
And he asked if we wanted it.
So. Oh. Well, Zune is the official entertainment portal for like Xbox now, so maybe you can download it for Xbox. I don't know. Does that work? Do you can listen to podcasts on your Xbox? All right. So if you want to write into the Sean is wrong segment, you can. Anyway, so yeah, I'm excited. Next week's going to be a big week, and every week after that for a while.
Now, the discussion from our last podcast was absolutely great, and hopefully we can keep a discussion going this time. So come on. Talk about what we did, where we just went all meta this week, or the topic that this podcast hopefully has, which is learning about games by watching videos of games being played. Has it ever turned you off to a game? Like, by watching the video, have you decided that you don't actually need to play it? Or a game you weren't particularly interested in, by seeing someone else playing through it, you got an idea of what the game was about and it made you more interested in watching it. I'm like, this newfangled interweb, but like, I can't read about games in magazines much anymore. You know, we still have Famitsu in here in Japan, and you know, there's what, Game Informer and maybe a couple others, Nintendo Power and stuff in America, but most of the games magazines I used to read don't exist anymore.
It's true.
And I don't know, a lot of games that I get is from word of mouth these days, or comments on the Famicom Toshio podcast.
True. I wanted to see if this video thing has better effect on non-gamers who don't really want to play the games, but like don't mind watching you play Portal for the witty dialogue. But that's probably another discussion entirely.
But let us know what you think about that, especially those who actually do use this as a way of determining their video game purchases. And if you have time, call in, leave us a voicemail. We've done this 3 weeks in a row now, and I don't. And if they keep coming in, we'll keep putting them up.
Sweet, yeah. Call us about the videos too. Like, you don't have to talk about the podcast stuff. Like, anything that we do that you see, it's like, I liked that. I'm gonna tell these guys I liked it, and
or tell us how wrong we are about something. I mean, yeah. When you're just one half of the conversation, sometimes you can think you're always right.
Oh, I'm gonna refrain from commenting on that. So I think we should just say goodbye until next week and our next numbered episode.
So until next week, the dojo is close.
It's true.
Because we'll be back next week.
Famicom Dojo.